August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello and welcome everybody to Rebellion Radio episode 08. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And we made it, guys.
It's
the big 08. Big milestone for us.
We should be celebrating at 10.
We celebrate every episode because
we actually did it.
we get an episode farther each time, and that's worth celebrating.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
So we have a wide assortment of topics to talk about today, so let's just jump right in with a few announcements. April, what is the first announcement?
It is. It's the last week to vote for us for the 2011 Podcast Awards. Go to our website for the details, and we thank you very much. And the voting ends the 27th, which is a Thursday, so if you haven't voted for us yet, please do it at least twice this week. Please, we need to win.
Yeah, well... Yes, we do. Basically, yes, we need to win.
That's all. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, and I released like a little audio clip on the feed of earlier this week, explaining exactly how to do it. So please, just vote for us at least once. Twice would be good. You can vote once a day with one email address. So
yeah, it's not that hard. It's super simple. You just click stuff and press submit.
It's really fun, actually. I remember having a great time doing it last night, and I was like, "Yeah, this is good." You know?
It's one good old time, so, yeah. People were saying it's too hard. Just go to the site, click, go down to General, and click Rebellion Radio, not any of those other podcasts. I mean, I'm sure they're nice, but, you know, we're the best. Sorry.
Of course.
And then just go to the bottom and type in your email and your name, and just go.
It's not hard. Please do it. And we'll appreciate all the support. Thank you very much. So our next announcement is a fun announcement. It was April's birthday last week, and she told us, but I forgot. I'm sorry, April, but...
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that on the outline. Why? So, now I feel because I told you, you're just like, oh my god, we have to do something.
Okay, well, we do. Point is, happy early birthday to Miss Grisanti. Give her a round of applause.
Thanks.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Unnecessary, but thank you.
Okay, we're gonna stop the song right there.
Come on, Hurley, you gotta join in, too.
I can't sing, you don't want to hear that.
Actually, I really would. Because I want to see how, if you say you're bad.
It could be your birthday present.
Maybe as a... No. she'll regret that forever. Anyway, Elena, what's our next announcement?
We now have a Tumblog, otherwise known as a Tumblr blog. And I will be active on that. Check out some fun stuff at rebellionradio.tumblr.com. And by the way, if you go there, please subscribe to us or follow us. That's what you do on Tumblr. And up in the top left corner, there's this little button that says submit a post. And any listeners, please submit stuff. Like if you have anything you want to submit to us, as long as it's, you know, age appropriate, submit it and it'll be on the blog. So yeah, go there and hopefully we'll be posting something. A thing or two a day or something.
Reposting, of course. I'm not sure if
reblogging,
we can
whatever.
Make things.
Yeah, we could, but.
Oh my gosh, I've been trying to join Tumblr. That's so cool.
If any fan people, any of our fans want to do some fan art for us, we'll totally post it on the Tumblr.
Faux show.
Alright, so that wraps up the announcements. We're going to move straight into the news, which was not very fast, but definitely faster than last week. It was horrible. But, April, what's the first news announcement?
Ooh, I'm excited about this one. All the districts have been expedited! And that means that everybody that has registered on the capital.pn has gotten their dips. Also...
yeah, okay, I would say that out, I wouldn't say dips.
District identification process, profiles, whatever.
Passes.
DIPs.
Okay.
DIP. Also, the image from District 6's emblem gives insights on the vehicles of the world. Specifically hovercrafts and trains. So
yeah,
That was fun. Yeah. I was excited when I got my email.
Yeah, I put in the District 6 emblem, because all the other ones are really nice, but this one actually shows us, like...
Whoa.
Like, did you guys see this one? It had hovercrafts in the top.
Mm-hmm. What's your job? I'm an irrigator.
I'm a geologist.
I have the worst one. I'm a furniture builder.
You're a carpenter!
Oh, am I?
That's what a furniture builder is.
I'm a freaking irrigator. I have to water stuff.
See, I don't even cut down trees. I make benches.
Well, you give stuff to the world.
Oh. Yay, I feel so accomplished. Yeah, everyone's excited on that. So, the next news announcement was one I was excited about. And that was Woody Harrelson did an interview about Haymitch with an interviewer. And the thing that people were talking about a lot was he talked a lot about adding comic relief, like a lot of, you know, comic relief for the character. So what do you guys think about what he said?
I don't know about comic relief. I think that Haymitch could be comic relief.
I think he always was comic relief.
At times, yeah, certainly, like, when he, like, falls off the stage in the first book. Like, that definitely was comic relief. I guess that's good, but I hope that he can also nail, like, the serious, darker side to him. Like, the haunted past thing going on.
Yeah.
He doesn't just be comic relief the entire time.
Yeah, see, I know Woody Harrelson can be extremely funny. If anybody's seen Zombieland, you guys can, you know, back me up there, but... The thing is, he's also very dramatic, and that's what I was looking for in this movie. But I trust him it's all about balance, you know? Mm-hmm. I trust him to balance it out, like, not just do jokes. Like, it can't just be jokes.
Yep. So, our next news story is that Scholastic UK has released 3 adult Hunger Games covers. And,
quote-unquote adult.
Yeah. So, these covers, have you guys seen them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at them.
They look a lot simpler than the ones that are out. Basically, they're just... The Hunger Games is just the Mockingjay. They're all just the main emblem of each book. So, like, the first one is just the Mockingjay pin. And the next one is just the Mockingjay pin, but it's the one where the Mockingjay is slightly out. And the last one is Mockingjay coming out of the circle thing. So, they're a lot simpler, but I actually like them. They're... I think more, I guess you could say elegant.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But.
April, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, simple. Like, if I hadn't read these before and I just went to a UK bookstore and.
A British bookstore.
Exactly. And saw that cover with just that, I would think it would be interesting just because it's just that, but I don't think I'd be like, oh, this looks really cool and pick it up. I think, like, the US covers. Are much better, and I think the other UK covers that they had originally were really good, so I'd probably pick up that, but I probably wouldn't pick up something like that, like
yeah.
this.
See, I like them. They look really, 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 you know, elegant, as Elena said, but I don't know how well they work as, like, a book cover, because I kind of prefer the regular book cover, because, I don't know, it just looks more like a, you know, it has the graphics on the back.
Yeah.
But the thing that bothered me was that they like sell these as the adult editions. Why are suddenly like you know more simple things adult? Like the only thing I would that doesn't make any sense, you know?
No, United Kingdom does that a lot. They'll have like the kids edition and they'll have like the adult edition. For example,
oh, really?
There's like yeah for like the Harry Potter covers. Like, there's, like, different ones. Like, for example, like, the Deathly Hallows cover for the UK is, like, this animated picture. And then the adult cover is just, like, I think it's just a locket. So, like, there's... I think that... I don't know about all, but it seems to me like a lot of the adult covers are a little bit simpler and a little more, like, mellow, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids are... I don't know what the cover is for the kids' edition to the Hunger Games, but... They're a little more, kind of more color and stuff, probably to just, like, draw kids to, you know, lots of color and craziness and stuff.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just, the pin's a lot smaller, and there's, like, these, like, lines kind of coming out of it. I don't know what the lines mean, but It's the same kind of graphics you see on Capital PN. It's the same style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it looks good. I like them. So, our last news announcement is that, although it's not officially confirmed by Lionsgate, an artist by the name of Glenn Hansard, it has revealed that he's been asked to write a song for the Hunger Games soundtrack. And this, the song is called Come Away and is written about Katniss. And I'm going to play a sample right here.
Come away, little lost, come away to the water. To the arms that are reaching only for you. Come away, little lost, come away to the water. To the ones appointed to see it through. We are calling to you.
That was a great sample from Glenn Hansard. Yeah, we'll see whether this is for the soundtrack or the score. I'm sure it's for the soundtrack, so yeah, we'll hope that's good. So now we're going to move into our mailbag, which we read your very own mail sent to us. And Elena, what is the first mail?
The first mail here is from Houston, and Houston says, "Hey, Panem peeps, about your little side talk thing during chapter chat about how the tributes' faces are projected into the sky and such. I think I remember Katniss saying something about hovercrafts carrying a big screen over the arena. Then, when the prison break, or arena break, if you will, from the arena in Book 2, Katniss says something like, 'And then I see the moon. My moon, not the capital's.' I expect she means a projection, or maybe there is an electro dome. I guess they could get all techie and say that there was an electro force field video screen of doom. That tis all." I like that word. From Huey, District 8.
Well, thank you, Huey. Or Houston. Or, yeah, we were talking about how the tributes' faces are projected on the sky. So do you guys think it's... He says it's the force field... Is that we talked about that?
Boy.
I think it's probably the force field.
Well, I always thought of the arena being kind of surrounded by a force field electromagnetic dome, kind of not magnetic. I don't know. Maybe it's electromagnetic. I don't know.
Quote: anyway, "Electro force field video scream of doom" from Huey.
Yes. Yeah, like kind of like just as a force field. That's basically all electricity. But I guess that they could turn it into a video screen also.
Mm-hmm. But she does mention something interesting about Katniss saying...
It's a boy.
What, Houston?
Yeah, you said she.
You said she.
Okay, I'm sorry, okay? Because we had a listener from Demigods Live, our previous podcast, and I kept thinking they were a boy, but they were a girl.
Oh,
okay,
no.
that doesn't make this right, but I'm sorry.
There's no excuse, Hurley.
So Houston is a guy. Are we sure about that?
Yes. Completely sure. You can look on Facebook.
Okay. I'm sorry, Houston. So he said, Katniss said something like, "And then I see the moon, my moon, not the capital's," and that could mean it's a projection. But I thought that when I first read that, I thought it meant just like, the capital can't. I thought it was more like a rebellious thing, like, that's not my moon, that's the capital's moon. Do you think she was literally meaning that was a projected moon, or...?
I think she meant that before that, the moon that she was seeing was only a projection of the capital's, like, from the screen, the force field electricity thing. But then the force field is broken, so now she sees the real moon and not this fake moon from the capital.
Okay. Well, yeah, so that takes care of that. So our next email is from Megan, and she says, "Hello, my name is Megan, and I'm from a small village in England. I love your podcast very much, and always look forward to hearing from you all. Hope you have a lovely day. Keep up the good work."
Okay,
That was not English.
That was
like
Irish.
Indian.
Love, Megan. Okay, sorry, that kind of fell apart there.
Hello, my name. That is totally Irish. You were
You sounded
Irish.
Like Indian.
That too.
Alright, like the point is, last week I remember Alex asked for someone from England to write in. So thank you, Megan, for writing in. Sorry I butchered the accent, but it's all good.
We're offending so many people.
I know.
It's mostly Harley, but still.
Forgive me, listeners. I'm just... Let's move on. April, what's the next email?
Okay. Our next email is from Haley, and she says, I'm loving the title. It just makes me want to laugh. Killin' Prim is something we all love to do. Killin' Prim makes Katniss feel blue. Rue is amazing all the time. This poem really is really sucky because I can't rhyme. Rue will have the victory. She will go down in history. All of Penem will love her because she just has that lore. Killin' Prim is so much fun, and now I'm sure you're glad that this poem is done. I hope you enjoyed my sucky poem, Haley.
Yay!
Haley, thank you for writing in a poem about Killing Prim.
Oh no.
This is exactly what I wanted. Like, a nice, fun poem about... My favorite line is probably, Prim. Killing Prim is something we all love to do.
She can be killed more than once.
So thanks for that, Haley. It was not sucky, it was pretty awesome. So our next email is from Molly, and she also has a poem for Killing Prim, and that is... This is much more serious. The eyes of who I could have been stare back at me in death. Her life was mine. I lived it like she did. I felt lost as she did. And she felt my pain. We both starved. We both scrapped. Whoops. Sorry about that. Okay, we both scrapped. We both worked. But now her heart has stopped. With one slice of a blade, the heart I shared with love for the Mockingjay. Never again shall her heart live. And part of my heart has now been killed by regret. Wow, that was a much more dramatic take on the Killing Prim prompt. Thank you for that. And she also says, April's my favorite. What now, Hurley? And you guys rock.
Aw, thank you!
I don't know how that's what now, Hurley, but...
Thank you, Molly!
Thanks, Molly, for that. It's awesome. So, now we're gonna move into our segment that is probably my favorite, and that is Chapter Chat. So... We have a little explanation to, or I have a little explanation to do to the listeners. Basically, what happened was, some listeners may have noticed that we skipped chapter 9, and I have an explanation for this, however bad it may be. Basically, we decided to change the chapters from 3 to 2, right? So, on the dock, I changed, on the bottom of the dock, we have a little blurb that says what our chapters are going to be for next week. So, at the time, it was 9, 10, 11. But I changed it to 10 and 11, because I thought, you know, we're just doing 2. But then that left out 9, and I took off 9 from the dock, and 9 was just neither in the dock for that show or for the little blurb for the next show. Basically, chapter 9 was omitted, and we're very sorry about that, but Elena has kindly typed up some notes for that. So Elena, chapter 9, take it away.
Chapter 9. So this chapter starts off with Katniss feeling betrayed by Peeta's decision to start training without her separately. But Katniss eventually decides that the sooner they acknowledge that they're enemies, the better. So Katniss then has a 4-hour-long session with Effie, where Effie puts her in a gown and heels and teaches her how to walk in them. And she teaches her about eye contact, gesture, smiling, and so forth, which Katniss isn't all that great at. The only thing it seems Katniss has been best at so far is scowling.
I love this scene.
Kind of funny.
Yeah.
I know.
She's, like, bumbling around in her high heels and... She's very much a tomboy. Yeah,
she is. And I think the drastic difference from her having to go from the woods where she's, like, killing all these animals to go to here to have to be this super girly person, just the adjustment wouldn't be very easy, I think, at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the session with Haymitch, Katniss is coached on her interview skills with hardly any luck. According to Haymitch, Katniss has as much charm as a dead slug.
Aww. I love slugs. Well, actually, they're kind of creeping on me now. It's fall, so I kind of put salt on them, but...
What? That's so mean!
It dries them out.
But never mind.
Anyway, so Haymitch coaches her to act humble, and that doesn't really work, so she tries to play it cocky. She also tries witty, funny, sexy, and mysterious, but they're all failures.
Well, I wonder why angle didn't work, because she is very humble.
Yeah. I think that Haymitch would pull off humble better, because he seems like that too.
But yeah.
Anyway.
I love the scene, because it gives us a first look at, like, Haymitch actually, like, teaching Katniss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when she's back in her room, Katniss smashes around some of the dishes, and when the red-headed Avox girl comes in to clear them away, Katniss yells at her to leave them.
Ooh, but some teenage angst here.
Mm-hmm.
But the girl doesn't leave. Instead, she washes off Katniss's face and bloody hand. And Katniss apologizes for the incident in the forest so long ago, and she tells her she could have tried to save her. But the girl taps her lips as if to say, no, they would have cut your tongue out too. And then the two of them clean the room together, and then the girl turns down the bed and tucks Katniss in, and she sleeps.
Aww.
Yeah, so we see a little bit of closure for the girl, I guess, when it comes through the
right,
scene.
Right, right, yeah.
So the next day, Katniss is set to spend some time with Cinna, the stylist, before her big interview. Her dress gives the impression that Katniss is engulfed in flames, and Katniss tells Cinna that she will be awful in the interview. Katniss says that she should pretend she's answering the questions to him. So the setup for the interviews is pretty elaborate with cameras everywhere. And then there's Caesar Flickerman, the longtime host with powder blue hair who never seems to age, suspiciously.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah. So the tributes are interviewed in order, and Rue wears a gown with wings and tells the audience not to count her out because she's hard to catch.
Ooh.
So then it's Katniss's turn, and Caesar is a helpful and warm host.
I was kind of surprised that Caesar is actually a helpful host, because when I first read his description, like a guy with it's probably he's really old, but plastic surgery, I expect him to be kind of sleazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Stanley Tucci will do. He can act in pretty much any role, so.
Totally. Yeah, and I think that it's kind of his job to put them in a good light, since. I think. Do you think that the Capitol. Obviously, the Capitol receives a good amount of money for the sponsors, so they want them to get sponsors, the troopers to get sponsors, because then they get some money too.
Uh huh, yeah. But I would think that, the interview would, try to put them down. Or, I don't know. I don't know who would be benefiting, but I guess.
I think the Capitol would. I mean, I guess both the tributes and the Capitol are. But I think that, in general, it's the Capitol, because.
Mm-hmm.
It's the money that the Capitol probably gets. I highly doubt it costs, however much it costs to send stuff into the arena. It probably just all goes to the Capitol, generally.
Yeah, well, everything the districts make and produce all just goes to the Capitol. Nobody makes any profit from the districts.
Yeah. So, Caesar asks about her costume for the opening ceremonies. And Katniss decides to be honest and gushes about Cinna's brilliance. Then she says she loves the dress she is wearing tonight. And Caesar has her twirl for him, and she does, which I thought was so cute. It's sad, because I remember in the book it said that for the first time, in her life, she was giggling. And to go your entire life without giggling, that's a really sad life. I mean, not having a reason to. It's just, I kind of,
Katniss gets a giggle. We should call it, that's what the title should be.
Katniss gets a giggle.
So the interview continues, and things turn personal. And Caesar asks Katniss about the sacrifice she made by taking her sister Prim's place. And Katniss tries to be warm, but can feel ice in her veins. She tells him that Prim asked her to win, and that she said she would. And I was thinking, I think if I was Katniss, I wouldn't want to tell the Capitol all this.
I know. You don't want to give away your most, your closest family member. Because now they have a complete hold on you right now.
Yeah, and they've already taken so much from her. And if I were her, I'd be like, you've already taken, my life away from me. I'm not going to give you, the things that I love either. That's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she has to kind of, do what she has to do to get sponsors and do that.
Right.
She has to...
Show that she's, a good older sister. Probably gets more sponsors that way.
Yeah. So, the interview is then over, and then Cinna gives her the thumbs up. And so PETA's interview is next, and goes off without a hitch. He plays up the fact that he's a baker's son, and is winning and funny with the host. And then, PETA tells the host that he has a crush on a girl, but that it's not going to work out. Why? Because she came to the games with him. Da-da-da.
Of course it's Effie.
Of course!
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
That pink hair, how could he resist?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a huge cliffhanger. So at this point, right now, did PETA love Katniss?
I think so.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think he always loved her.
Yeah.
From the time that he gave her bread to forever.
Actually, yeah, I think I actually said this before. I think he does love her right now. Well, not maybe, I don't know, because I think maybe he always had like a special spot in his heart for her. I don't get all gushy, but yeah. But I don't think he truly loved her until after. I think in the arena was when he actually loved her.
I think what it could have been is I think that maybe he had the potential to love her.
Exactly, yeah.
Till this point. But he didn't really know her well enough, because I really don't think that you can be in love with someone when you don't see their, like, true personality.
Except
like, how
me,
they acted
except
in
me
dark.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, of course. You guys are the exception here. But besides that, I really think that you need to be able to see who they are. Like, so it wasn't really until they were in the arena that he really saw her true character, and that's really what, like, set in stone, so to speak, his love for her, I guess.
It's what's on the inside that really counts.
Aww. It was just a little crush into everything.
Yeah, exactly. Hurley's wise words of the day.
You should play inspirational music behind it.
Oh, you know I will. It's what's in your heart that counts, everybody. Don't forget that.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so good chapter. Now we're going to flash forward to chapter 12. And just to remind everybody, they just ended the arena. And she just realized that PETA is part of the careers after waking up after her first night there. So, April, let's jump in.
All right. So, Katniss looks at PETA, and he's all swollen, and his arm is all messed up. And she thinks about him telling her not to try and get supplies, even though she was already planning to do the same thing himself. What she can't understand, though, is why he would ever team up with the career tributes, especially after talking to her about he wants to make sure he doesn't disgrace his name during the games. And she believes that this was just another game that PETA was playing with her.
Exactly. Did you guys ever think that he was actually a career?
No.
Maybe, I think
no.
I did, actually.
Yeah. Really?
I don't know why. I think I just thought that, I think I thought that for, like, the first part when she first saw him, and then afterwards I was like, oh, it can't be true. They're probably using him for something. Or
I thought he was trying to infiltrate his way in and then kill them when they're allied with him.
I didn't really know what he was doing, but I'm such a, like, romantic, and I'm, like, wanted to see the good in it. So I was like, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm sure it's something good, so I don't know.
I was thinking that they were using him and they would, like, kill him halfway through.
Oh, so you thought that the careers were using him. I was probably a little bit of both.
Probably. Like, use his baby.
Well, how would PETA help them, though? It's not like he can, like, whip out an oven and bake them some bread.
I got a pocket oven right here.
Easy bake oven.
Well, maybe
that was his token thing.
Yeah, that was my token to bring in the big oven.
Maybe they thought that it would be easier just to get him, and then they could just get rid of him easier. So,
but yeah,
like,
just have his trust.
Like, they keep getting every, like, they kill him, and then they get somebody else in, then they kill them, etc., etc., till there's down to just them, and they go in an all-out brawl.
Yeah, it's always risky to be. I don't know if I would want to ally with anybody just yet. If I was actually in this situation, because it's like, they're going to kill you. Like, don't get yourself too close.
Yeah.
You know?
What if it was, like, your sister or your brother?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Like, Katniss,
you'd have to kill him eventually.
No, I don't know what I would do. But, like, if it was me and somebody I trusted, like, Katniss trusts Rue and Rue trusts Katniss, like, then you can ally. But, like, he doesn't know these people at all, and he has no reason to trust them.
Well, Katniss couldn't have trusted Rue either. Like, it's just this random, how old is she, 11-year-old, 13, 11-year-old girl.
11. 11? Yeah.
Yeah, 11-year-old girl who she just met. What if she was just playing that act just so she can get closer to Katniss and then kill her? She didn't. She didn't know. So she took a risk, trusting
Rue.
But
you have to have a certain amount of faith.
Well, you do, but at the same time, when you're in that situation, you kind of got to be a little bit suspicious for a second and be like, what are they planning? And then after a while...
Yeah, I think that Katniss is... I think that Katniss is, a, like, as long as, like, you have some decent intuition, you can, like...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Normally, unless the person's, like, a really good, like, good at, like, conning, I think that generally you can tell whether or not their intentions are.
You never know what those 11-year-old right girls, gosh.
That's true.
They're always killing Prim all day.
Yeah. Killed Prim and watched her die. Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. So PETA goes back to the girl who started the fire to finish her off, and the career tributes talk about how they like to kill PETA, or Love a Boy, as they call him.
Lover boy.
They wanted to kill him. I was totally right. Okay. Yeah. Another courier reminds them that PETA is their best chance of finding Katniss. So they really just want to kill Katniss. And also of finding out how she scored an 11.
See, it was both. Because they want to kill him, but they also want to, you know, get information from him.
So that's the use that PETA had to them. Not just baking bread and whipping out an easy bake oven. So Katniss realizes that PETA hasn't told them about her archery skills, and she hopes that he'll keep secret. And the cannon sounds, signifying that PETA has killed the poor girl who started the fire, who was stupid.
Oh my gosh. PETA's first kill, I think.
I have to ask, who is stupid enough to do that, though? I mean, someone who has no sense of any sort of survival skills. I mean, you don't start a fire
or just
at night.
Being secret. At all.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of training, obviously. Who was their mentor? They shouldn't...
Or a lot of brains. When they were born.
That's mean. I had a poem about PETA killing this girl, too.
People, please write in a poem called PETA Killing Dumb Girl Who Started Fire. And we will totally read it on the show.
That would be fun. We should have, like, a poem segment now.
Poetry.
Poetry with Rebellion Review.
Oh no. Okay. So then the hovercraft appears and takes the dead tribute away. So then Katniss knows that she must appear to the cameras as if she's not surprised by what she heard. She wants to make sure that sponsors continue to bet on her and offer her support, and believe that she and PETA are on this plan together. Like a little couple.
Can you believe how insane this must be? Because you gotta figure out what people's intentions are. You gotta survive in the games, and then you still have to worry about what the cameras are seeing on screen and make sure the capital goes along with what you're planning. Like, there's so many different ways you have to appear to other people. Like, it's insane, because...
It's all about impressions.
I'm surprised she didn't go insane she did. But I'm surprised she didn't go insane while she was in the arena at this time, trying to figure all this out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think unless you're really good at hiding your emotions already, it would be such a hard job. It would be such a pain to be able to just, like, survive the games, or even get pretty far in them.
Yeah, because, like, do we know, like, where the cameras actually are? Like, are they...
I think they're just like birds flying by or on leaves. I think they're just like everywhere.
I was waiting for her to find a camera.
Like, oh yeah, that would be. Yeah. I think there might be a shot in the movie where like she looks closely at a leaf and like the camera's there.
That would be so awkward.
But those cameras those cameras must be tiny though.
Okay. That would be awkward though. Like she finds it and then she just looks like really close at it and then like on the TV is like a shot of her like face. It's, like, really...
She eats it.
Okay. Continuing. She continues her search for water, and one of her traps has caught a rabbit, so she eats it, showing off her hunting skills.
And her eating skills.
And her eating skills, yes. And she finds berries that resemble blueberries, but she doesn't recognize their insides, so she throws them away. Mostly... She continues to weaken and fail from not drinking. She thinks of Haymitch and her sponsors and asks for water. Nothing comes, unfortunately. She believes that Haymitch hates her and is punishing her. But then... Oh,
come on.
She doesn't like Haymitch. But then...
I know.
But then she decides that he wouldn't do that. Instead, she interprets his withholding of water as a message, a signal telling her that she's close to water.
Mm-hmm.
Katniss keeps walking and then falls to the ground on mud, thinking that this would be a nice place to die. Then she dies. The end.
That's a happy thought.
Dang, that was a short book.
Then she realizes that mud means water, so she crawls further and finds a pond and purifies it and drinks it. And that was very exciting.
So she purifies it with the iodine. Yes. in the bag, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, and I didn't even think about that, because I was like, I remember reading the book and being like, iodine? What? What the heck? Okay. So, and then it wasn't until this that I was like, oh.
I would, smart. Honestly, my token to bring into the arena would be a life straw, so I could drink any water and it would filter it for me. A life straw? It's like the straw used in third world countries, and you just drink the water and it purifies it right in the straw.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Nice.
I would bring a Brita filter.
All these big items. I bring a refrigerator and a generator.
You could bring one thing.
I'd bring.
Oh dang.
But honestly, I think the best object she could have grabbed from the cornucopia was that backpack, because there was so much in it that helped her throughout the games.
But I don't think it was the best, though, because she could have picked a lot of different weapons. But there's, of course, the risk.
The thing is that the weapons are helpful, but she gets the arrows eventually. But the most, I think the most helpful was basically all the stuff in the backpack was, like, survival stuff. Like,
right,
iodine and stuff like that, and that would keep her alive. They're not necessarily, like, defense weapons. Sorry, defense. Well,
yeah.
You know, like, trying to kill people, that's not what they're for. They're
right,
for
right.
surviving.
I guess she could find other ways to survive, but she's not going to find iodine in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's nighttime, and Katniss straps herself into a tree. And she plans to rest near the pond the next day and be strengthful again. The game makers, though, have a different idea. She wakes before dawn to the sound of stampeding feet and a wall of fire. Dun dun dun.
Oh my
gosh. Dun, dun, dun.
Fire. Good deal. Chapters 9 and 12. Now we're really getting into it. You know, the arena and whatnot. So, email us any thoughts about the chapters we just discussed. Or, even better, chapters 13 and 14 for next week. And we'll discuss them on the air. And, yeah, if you read the chapters and you're like, hey, this would be cool for them to talk about, email us in and we will for sure put it in there. So now we're going to move into a favorite segment that has been cherished by people all across the world, and that is trivia!
Yay!
That was, like, at the same time, but,
cool.
Elena has prepared some of the trivia questions for us.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder for all the listeners who may not know, or are new listeners, trivia is where I will read off questions from the books about really random little details, and whoever gives us the answer first gets a point. Whoever gets the most points wins honor and glory forever and ever. So our first question here is, what is Katniss's nickname?
Katniss.
April gets the point.
Shot
no,
down.
Don't do this. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for the next one.
All right. Next question is, who gave Katniss her nickname?
Gail Hawthorne. Gail James Hawthorne.
I said it. What? I said it first.
I think that was Kate. Yeah,
is his real name James?
No, I make a middle name for people.
Gail James.
Wait, so hold on. How many questions are you going to ask? Like, I think we should have a set amount.
10.
Oh, 10? Okay.
Okay, that's a good number.
We've done 2. We have 8 more. So the next question is, how much did Gail buy a loaf of bread for from the baker? That was weird.
2 squirrels.
Oh,
actually,
3 squirrels.
No.
2.5 squirrels.
No.
A squirrel and a tail.
Nope.
One squirrel.
Yes. Yeah! April gets the points again. It was one squirrel.
I can't remember these details.
Exactly.
This is why I'll never win trivia.
This is, by the way, all of these questions here are all from the first chapter. So, okay. I got
don't tell him that. He's gonna go look in the book.
No, yeah, I'm not.
I'm not gonna get a chance. Next question: how did Katniss's father meet her mother?
His mother. He was sick, and he went to the apothecary, and she had to heal him. He was injured. He was injured, and
not really.
He went. His mother went down to the mines to heal people, and she met him there.
Any guesses, April? Okay, so the answer is, well, I guess I can get this to Hurley, because he got it kind of close.
Yes!
The answer was that Katniss's father met her mother, so he sometimes sold herbs and stuff to the shop that Katniss's mother's family owned.
Her mother owned all a right. family?
So what? He would just be like, hey, I found some more rosemary for you. She'd be like, ooh, thank you. So, next question is, how many siblings does Gale have?
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Five.
Nine.
Nope.
Four.
Nope.
Three.
Three.
Yes! Pearl, I got it.
Yes!
Three.
My next guess would be Gale.
So, yeah, Gale has three siblings. And, speaking of Gale's siblings, how many were boys and girls?
Two were boys,
two
one
boys,
was girl.
One girl.
Yeah, so I think that was Hurley.
Yeah,
what?
It was Hurley.
No!
It was Hurley.
I heard Hurley first.
Stupid delay.
So, next question is, how much older is Gale than
two
Katniss?
2 years older. Three.
Yep. No, it's one.
Wait, what?
Sorry, just kidding. No, what am I talking about?
He's like 18.
No, he's 2 years older.
Yes, years I was older. Right.
So, yeah, April's right. He's 2 years older.
Because he's 18 right. And she's 16. Math.
Yep. Okay, so next question. What does Greasy say the dog meat is that she bought from Katniss?
Squirrel.
She says it's
squirrel.
Beef.
Yep.
Dang.
Hurley got it with beef. So, the last question here is, who buys the most strawberries from Katniss and Gale?
Match. Okay, that was...
Close.
The mayor.
Yes.
The mayor's wife.
The mayor.
No.
Nope, it's the mayor.
Just the mayor.
Wait. Well, I mean, I guess Madge buys them too, but it's her father.
Woohoo,
yeah,
no, I won.
It is. Wait, hold on.
So, actually, you guys both tied.
No,
wait,
because one,
sense,
one would
though.
Be
we
five.
We had 10 questions.
I know, you got 5 and 5.
No, it's 5 and 4.
You each got 5 and 5. I asked 10 questions.
Okay, we need to have an odd number next time. Do one more question.
Okay, so, alright, next question. Last bonus question. How many times was Katniss's name entered into the reaping this year?
24.
18.
12.
74.
16.
64 and a half.
Both of your first guesses are closer.
I said
18.
24.
25.
20. 21.
23.
Yes. 20.
Yes!
Who was that? That was me, right?
That was April.
Yes!
So April wins by 1 point.
Yay!
Don't tell me this is happening. I've never won trivia ever on any of my podcasts.
I've mostly won like every trivia from Demigods Live to like now.
Honestly.
Yeah,
but this is the closest I've gone though. 6-5, this close game. Good game,
yeah.
April.
Yay! Virtual handshake. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Alright, so to wrap up the show, we have our segment called Hrock. I know what you're thinking. What an awesome name. And for Hunger Games Rock, we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think would work well with the Hunger Games universe. So this week, enjoy a great song that is Elena's pick, Selling the News by Switchfoot. That's Selling the News by Switchfoot. So that will conclude the show, everybody. Please visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com for everything about the show. There's links to our iTunes, Tumblr, stay updated with our Facebook and Twitter, both at /RRPodcast. And plus, you can discuss the episode with other listeners in the comments section. And of course, contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. And do not forget to vote for us for the Podcast Awards, people. Please vote. We will appreciate it forever. And voting ends on the 27th. So with that, thanks everybody. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And thanks for listening.
Adios, muchachos.
Welcome to the holy city, a silver screen, built with a lens and a low self-esteem. A teenager's plea for meaning and means, we're selling the news. See, opinions are easier to swallow than facts. The grays instead of the whites and the blacks. If you shoot it too straight, they won't come back. We're selling the news. See, money speaks volumes louder than words. Or virtues with wings, maybe not quite at first. But salaries are paid by the ads, not the birds. We're selling the news. Dog has been chasing his tail. The lowest common denominator prevails. We're selling the news. I'm gonna believe you. I'm gonna believe that everything is in between. The fact is fiction. The fact is fiction. I'm gonna believe you. I'm gonna believe that everything is in between. The fact is fiction. Suspicion is a new religion. The masters of spin who make good-looking books and write history in. We're selling the news. The lines start to blur, I get so confused. I get shiny new models mixed up with the blues. I get binary code mixed up with abuse. The facts are simply one option to choose. When nothing is sacred, there's nothing to lose. When nothing is sacred, all is consumed. We're still on the air, it must be the truth. We're selling the news. I wanna believe you, I wanna believe, but everything is in between. The fact is fiction. The fact is fiction. I wanna believe you, I wanna believe, but everything is in between. The fact is fiction. The fact is fiction.
Hope you have a lovely day. Keep up the good work. Love, Megan. So, oh, actually, hold on. No, I have to redo this. I didn't even say it in the British accent.
Okay, are you kidding me?
Okay, sorry.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm going to cut all this out, actually. Okay, so.
She remembers sin is by... God, I cannot talk today.
Sound it out.
She remembers Sinna's advice and says the lamb stew. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Okay. So,
So then it's nighttime, and Katniss straps herself into a tree, which I find really weird, because I'm trying to imagine it, and I don't see how she could strap herself into a tree, but...
Oh. I think she means onto a tree.
Well, yeah, onto a tree. Whatever.
No, but if you just, like, actually... Like, I don't know if you guys have ever, like, read a book in a tree, but I have, like, there are a bunch of trees at some house. Okay. Where you can just, like,
that sounds like such a fun life. Reading so books in, like, trees.
Okay, you know what? I'm weird. I don't care. So you just, like, sit on the tree, and you lie down, and then you tie yourself to it so you don't, like, fall over.
You've done this before?
No, but I'm saying that if I was her, I would do that.
But
oh,
I find
okay,
it,
so she must be tied to the branch.
What would she use to tie herself
with? Slept in a tree,
like a rope or something?
Didn't she have a belt?
Probably like
she have a belt.
That'd
I think she has a belt
on her
It's the arena. It's not.
I know, but I mean,
that's five star.
I mean,
hotel.
It's just kind of awkward because she's just like strapped into a tree. That would be hard to get out of somebody.
Yeah, but it's better than falling out.
If you hug
dying.
Onto the tree really hard and.
But okay, so really random side note: you lose your sense of balance when you sleep. So she would have. She probably. If she hadn't strapped herself in, she probably would have.
Did
fallen
she just
out,
strap her
out.
Leg?
That explains my dreams.
Hmm?
That explains my dreams as of late.
What? Okay.
Okay.
Did she, like, just...
I'm falling off the cliff.
Did she, like, just strap her legs? Because if she just strapped her legs, she would, like, fall and she'd be, like, hanging there like a bat.
I think she just...
You know, that wouldn't be that too bad. That would be kind of nice.
You, all the blood would rush to your head.
It'd be kind of relaxing.
Okay, let's not analyze this, her sleeping arrangements too much. Let's finish up the chapter. And thanks for listening. See ya. Oh, no,
bye.
That's a horrible ending.
They're always horrible endings. It's like an awkward
adios,
ending.
Adios, muchacho.
Oh, okay.
All right. Cuando... Oh, no, stop. Stop, Spanish. No. I'm just going to take Elena saying adios, muchachos. Just say adios, muchachos again, Elena.
Adios, muchachos.
Okay, good.
Boop.
Everyone stop.